All right, enough of announcements. I've got a message here that I want to share with you. And I think that I'm going to ask you to get your Bibles now and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. There's a story that is recounted there. And it's a story we sometimes call the parable of the Good Samaritan. I am going to take a little exception to the word parable. You won't find that word in the actual Holy Writ. And I don't think it fits the category of a parable. For one thing, parables are something that was just made as an illustration to bring out some point. The Lord spoke in parables saying a certain man had some, you know. But when it comes to this, he named names. He named places. He became very specific, which is not so of a parable. The story I'm about to read, I believe, now you don't have to believe that, that's not the gospel, but I believe that this was something that in the super knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew about this, and he just brought it out. We're going to read Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm going to start at verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, this man, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" You know, it's a strange how sometimes people like to argue with the Lord. They know they don't have any argument, but they're still going to do it because they've had the habit, I guess, of doing it with all the folks at home. Jesus answered, verse 30, and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem," specific, "to Jericho," specific, "and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Boy, I like that. You know, if somebody is in Christ, you can't kill them. You can sure make them look like they're not alive, though. And they can make themselves that way. But I believe this ties in with the doctrine of the eternal security of a believer. One who is in Christ, you can't kill him. Can't stop. I sometimes say about that, once you're born, the only way you can be unborn has not yet been found. And you're born into the family of God, it is impossible to be unborn. You're there. You're a child of God today. You're going to be a child of God forever. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to act like the world sometimes. Unfortunately, too often sometimes. But it does mean that the Lord will do with us what we do to our children. Your child does something wrong and disobeys you. Do you say to him, "I'm sorry, you're no child of mine. Leave my house. I don't want to see you again." No, you don't. You get that thing called a rod, the strap, or some form of punishment. Whether you apply the rod and straighten out the child. And when it's all over, you're like some of us. After you deliver the spanking, you say, "Now come here and hug me up. For I still love you." And that's how the Lord deals with us, in love. Anyway, let's continue the story. I don't want to get off on too many tangents, or we'll be here until 2 o'clock. You won't like that. Where were we? In verse 30, we read that. He's leaving him half dead. Now, verse 31. "Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan," remember the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, He must have been colored or something, I don't know. He was the outcast. He was the bottom of the pile, of the social pile. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own beast, his own animal, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, heavy money. The denaria, denarius, is really one equivalent at one time to a penny. But look what this penny could buy. He took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. That's about as far as I'm going to read, or that's more than I can finish with today. But there are some tremendous lessons in that story. First of all, I'm going to just speak on one area of it, one aspect of it, and I want you to fit yourself. The Lord's here. The Lord is not just speaking to the wind. He wants to communicate with your life, with your heart, right where you are right now. Not me. I'm just the source of His getting the message out. I say to the Lord, now Lord, You speak through me. You give me the thoughts. And thank God that we've seen this from time to time, from place to place, where God literally can do miracles when a heart is prepared for what He would say to them. I dare say today, you're going to find something that the Lord will say to you that will touch you personally, touch you specifically. You will know it. Nobody else may know the specifics. But if He does, I'm going to ask you, be prepared to say, yes, Lord, not my will. Your will be done. You know why I say that? Because there are many people today who are like that Levite, like that priest. Here's this man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. By the way, Jerusalem, we speak of the place where God is. Temple and everything was up there. Jericho would be speaking of the place of a curse. Remember, after the walls of Jericho came down, Joshua said, cursed be this place. Cursed is any man that tries to rebuild it. So Jericho represents the place of the curse. Jerusalem could speak of the place where God dwells. Jerusalem is on top of a hill. Jericho is down the valley. That's why the scripture says this man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, but I declare to you, anybody who leaves the things of God, who leaves the place where the Lord is and heads out, is going down. See, Jerusalem is on top. I hope that I'm not speaking to somebody today whose pathway is headed downward from Jerusalem to Jericho, turning your back upon that which God has provided and turning your face towards that which God has cursed. But it happens to so many folks. And I'm just mentioning it because it's here, but that's what the old Jericho Road, they call that. By the way, there were 2 Jerichos. Somebody pulled me up one time. I brought a message on this one and said, do you know, one gospel, I think it's Mark, that says as they went to Jericho, and the other one says as they come out of Jericho, as they were coming out. How was that? And I had to tell that person some years ago, I had to say to them, you know, I don't know, I'll have to look that up. But it didn't take me long to find out that there were 2 Jerichos. There's the old traditional historical Jericho whose walls had fallen down, but about a half a mile to a mile away from that, Herod decided to rebuild Jericho, and he put it out there. And so there's the new Jericho and the old Jericho. And in between them is this Jericho Road. And on this Jericho Road, apparently, that's where a lot of robbers and a lot of bad kind hung up. And here they were. This man has found himself among thieves. And of course, thieves, and I can't get into this now, but you can make the application. When it comes to your Christian testimony, I hope you know that if you start going down, if you hit that Jericho Road, there are always those who are going to try to take your testimony from you. Always. They'll use every kind of trick in the book. And today, they make some of the things look so beautiful. Do you know Satan has right around this territory here some beautiful sanctuaries called churches? But do you know that they do not preach the Word of God? I got a shock in my life one time when I went to, I don't need to talk, I just want to know what's going on the other side. So I went to this, I forget what they call it, ecumenical anyway, pastor's conference. And I just sat down, and the things that I heard, I mean, they're not just reprobates, they're not just unbelievers, they're reprobate unbelievers. I'm talking about preachers, pastors. When a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist hasn't got this book in his hand and in his heart and in his mind to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when all that he can talk about is civil rights or something else, sad. Sad indeed. Fell among thieves. They stripped him of his clothing. They took, you can look at that as taking his robe of righteousness. Stripped him of his clothing. Wounded him. And then left. When the world decides to do a job on you, they can't do very much. They leave you. Left him half dead. I commented on that already. But now, that's just the setting for this story. As we look at verse 31, by chance. In other words, in the normal course of events, a certain priest came down that road. Now one would wonder, what in the world is a priest doing on that road? But he came down, and I guess priests can go, true priests can go anywhere. I understand some of you have a mission in, some home or other, some derelict situation. That's good. It's our responsibility to take the gospel to the world. That's why we preach behind the prison bars. That's one of the reasons I use radio, because nothing can keep it out. But the person himself who may not invite us in. But they went down that road, this priest did, and that meant that he was going to come face to face with the poor man that's lying down on the road, beaten up, robbed, stripped of his raiment. They even took some of his clothes. And here he was. And this priest comes down, and I guess the man wasn't too conscious. Couldn't plead for himself. And the priest looked at him. I'm going to embellish this a little bit with my imagination, but I think you'll see why. The priest looked at him, then he no doubt looked around. Hey, there's nobody else here can see what I'm going to do now. And instead of reaching down and helping that man, doing what he could for him, you can underline these three words. The other side. He passed by on the other side. Now, a little while later, a Levite. That's the one who's supposed to keep the law of God intact and make sure that everybody knows what that is. And this Levite also came down. And when he saw him, he came. Here's what the scripture says now. He came. And he looked on him. I imagine he scrutinized him thoroughly. Then he backed off. You ever seen anybody wanting to leave church early or something and they stick a finger up and slip out the back door or something, you know? He must have done something like that. He decided, no, I'm not going to get involved. But I'll pass by. And he tippy-toed away from the guy. And left him and the need right there. I wonder why the Lord told us that story. Because I believe there are many of us who do the same. I have used this story in conjunction with missions. A missionary challenge. We cannot honestly, honorably, pass by on the other side when God puts a need right in front of your face. And we should know that we can't do it. We should therefore be prepared, Lord, What need this week? What need this month? What need would you put before me and impress on my heart that you want me to help to meet? Now, we understand the semantics of this thing. Nobody can reach everybody. You know, I get so many letters asking for money from all kinds of organizations, from the good ones down to those I never heard of before. No way. I told one just this past week, I said, look, one person cannot give to all of you. So I'll pray that the Lord will get you something, will give those whom we laid on those hearts that He wants to supply your need. And then we have picked up, my wife and I, we have picked out 4 or 5 that we will be willing to share with. But we can't do everything. But a lot of folks say, because I can't do everything, I don't have to do anything. There's a difference. You see, just like nobody will know when you don't do anything, they won't know when you did something either, except the Lord. So let's just think of that for a half a minute anyway, that when the Lord puts a need in front of your face, seek His face whether He wants you to help meet it. It's the missionary challenge in that sense. Now, I didn't say much about the grand old gospel hour, and I don't know if I should say what I'm about to say now. But by the grace of the Lord, right now, for the last several months, we've been in the black, taking on new stations, but God has opened hearts to our ministry. Now, sometimes, like I just mentioned WBCH, that's fairly new. We haven't covered the cost of WBCH yet by WBCH. Their ministry, I hope that it will. But then others will supply. The Lord does it. He balances it out. And He works things out to His honor and to His glory. Now, the Levite also did his little jog around the man, went on his way. Then along comes a Samaritan. Remember, the Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritans. They were the underdogs. They were supposed to be the lesser on the social ladder than the Jews. And this Samaritan, I like to think of him, he must have been a colored man. Well, that's the way they treat colored folks, you know, or used to. They're still doing some places. Have no fear about it, they do. But anyway, this Samaritan, this underdog, he came, and look at verse 33. As he journeyed, he came where he was. Now, there are several little points here, which I'm just going to emphasize. Can't stop to talk about them. But he came where he was. The reason God planted you as an individual in that house, on that block, where you are, is because you now have the responsibility to be, to go to where the others in that block are. We have that responsibility. Oh, we don't often take it, but we do. We have the responsibility. This Samaritan, he looked at the need, and he came to where the man's need was, and when he saw him, here's the big thing now, he came where he was, he saw the need that this man had. 3 words. He had compassion. You know, that is one of the things I feel that this, our churches today and our Christians across America are starting to lack. Primarily because we have been in a blessed country. I don't know if there's anybody here who has ever experienced real hunger. Not because you just got hungry, but because there was no food anywhere to be had. And you had to do without a meal for 3 or 4 days. You'd know what hunger is. But we don't. We're in a blessed country. If you don't take it from Burger King, you can get it from McDonald's. And I mean, food is all around us. And the Lord has made it so we got a few pennies in our pocket that we can always buy something to eat. The picture here shows a real need. And he had compassion on him. I'm going to suggest to you, there are some saints, some believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, some who meet the same way we meet here. in faraway places, and some not so far away, I find that the average church member, white church member in America, has little idea of the problem and the turmoil that their brothers and sisters of color have. So there's very little compassion going out to them in connection with this. But it's not just a matter of color, it's a matter of a soul for whom Jesus died. This man, this Samaritan, he looked at this guy. And he saw a soul that God had created. And notice what he did in verse 34. I'm just going to breeze over it. One, he went to him. You know one of the tragic mistakes our churches make? We put up a welcome sign outside. Hey, neighborhood, we're here. Y'all come. Do you know the Bible never asked us to do that? The Bible's word is not come, but go. We are here who love the Lord. The responsibility is on us, not on them to come to you. It's on us to go to them. That's home missionary stuff. But it covers every area. And God has never asked anybody to do something that he didn't and wasn't willing to equip them to do it. So forget the excuses. Oh, I can't do that. You can if you really want to obey the Lord. But I know where it's tough. Never done it, maybe. And it's kind of hard to, you know. But it can be done. And if it really can be done, and you have friends, you have neighbors who you know are lost, who need Jesus Christ, start with one. And when you find that that one left you feeling much better, having been told the truth of the gospel, go to another one. And before you know it, the bug will bite you and you'll be ready to keep on going and get others in to help you go along. And he came where he was. And he looked on him. He bandaged, verse 34, he went to him. He went straight to the knee. And he bandages his wounds best he can. He poured on oil and wine, and he set him on his own beast. Poor guy couldn't even walk, couldn't talk, couldn't do hardly anything. He picked him up and put him on his own beast, which meant he walked. Boy, that's quite a gift. Somebody in that situation. And he brought him to an inn. Hook up, no? And took care of him. Now, the thought, if you take each one of those paragraphs or each one of those sentences, you see the thought that's there. And I believe the Lord allowed that to be put there so that we can get an idea as to just how we treat the needs in our community, in our family, especially, and I relate it now, to the spiritual needs of the community. We really need to be welcome, to be willing, and to welcome such and meet their need. But now I want to change the trend a little bit. Why did that priest, who is supposed to know much better, I mean he was supposed to be a man of the cloth, a minister, a preacher, whatever, God's man, why would he pass by on the other side? Then along comes this Levite, and he has the same social position in life. Why would he? What would make these two otherwise good men pass by on the other side instead of going and addressing the need that's there? I want to make some suggestions. Do I make them? Apply it to your own heart if it's there, if it's applicable. But in the meantime, whether you do or you don't, pray that somebody will get a blessing. Number one, that other side, I note, was the easiest side. It's the easier thing. When you have to go grapple with somebody who is in real trouble, it ain't pleasant. It's rough. And I can just see that priest in his priestly robes. And if I went over there, I'd get my nice robe all dusty on this old Jericho road, all messed up. I can't afford that. Besides that, I have an appointment. They're expecting me in the town over there in Jericho at a certain time. And if I stop to take care of this man, I'll be late. You see how excuses can come up? This man, he had a need. This Samaritan, he saw the need. And this Samaritan went to meet that need. The other side is the easiest side. He had no work. Saved him a whole lot of time and a whole lot of bother and a lot of energy and a lot of effort that would have to be put into the meeting of that need. He got away from it all by just passing by on the other side. The human spirits would say, hey, that's good. If you don't have to get involved with that sort of thing, don't bother. But the Spirit of God who is in you would buck that. And I trust that some of you will recognize that there is a real, and I want to relate primarily to the spiritual needs, but other needs as well. We support missions for that reason. I mean the missions in town and in various cities around the country who take in the derelicts and give them clothes and all sorts of stuff. It's all necessary. What we're primarily focusing on, however, is the spiritual need. We've got to take time if we're going to reach people. Sometimes you have to befriend that drunk guy down the road. You know, when he gets real off, he says all sorts of things, and you wouldn't want it. You wouldn't want your kids to have his company. But still, he's a soul for whom Christ died. By the way, you want to clean up that drunk? Give him the gospel. Let him get the gospel. Let him receive the gospel. The gospel is the only thing I know that can make the bad man good, can make a drunk man sober, whatever. You follow them driving in. The gospel. That's how we can meet needs. Real needs. There was another thought. You know, I noticed that the other side was the more pleasant side. After all, I don't know about you, I went to school in hospital, working there, and tain't pleasant washing off sores, bandaging sores, you know, especially some sores. Nothing at all pleasant about it. There was nothing pleasant in this Samaritan saw. But he went to him. I think of some of our missionaries who left our shores. They've gone into far-flung, sometimes undeveloped areas. And they have come in touch with some of the roughest and the crudest people that they would ever meet. Some that would even kill them if they got a chance. But they did it because they had a need. Not that the missionary had the need. Yeah, he had some, but the need was in the hearts and lives of those to whom he was one of us. We ought to have the same attitude. I don't know. I don't know if you believe in a clergy-laity separation. You know, all this stuff, only the clergy does that. And the laity, no. The Lord didn't talk about that. The Lord says we are all sons. And the Spirit of God gives gifts according to His wisdom to each of us. There isn't a living soul here today, especially as a child of God, that God has not given to you a gift. Wait a minute, Brother Sam. If you don't know what your gift is, then make it top priority to get on your knees, to get with the Word of God, to get with the elders or whoever might counsel you right. Get with some. Find out what your gift is. God has not made anybody He can't use. He certainly hasn't saved anybody that He can't use. And if God can use you, find out where. Find out how. What is it that you can do to foster and to further the kingdom of God down here? But you can't choose the easy way out. If you choose the easy way out, you're going to do what the Levite did. Just walk right around the poor guy. Sorry, fella. I don't mean you know, leave him the way you found him. That's what we can't afford. Where are we going to reach our own community right here? You're going to need every bit of unction from the Holy Spirit to tackle those that you're, well, they're unpleasant, don't smell good, you name it. They're there. They need salvation. They need your Lord. The next thing I noticed again, so I must move along very quickly, is that the other side was the least expensive side. Well, when that Samaritan came along, it cost him something. It says 2 denarii. Well, what's a denarii? Put it in modern day language, and I would imagine it's around $50. Maybe more than that. But it cost something. Did you know it cost something to serve the Lord? It costs something to serve the Lord in your time. Anybody who feels that they can serve the Lord from 11 till 12 o'clock on Sunday morning and they don't have to be bothered with anything else, they're wrong. They're not serving the Lord. It costs them in energy. We've got to put our energy together on this thing. It may cost you in your talents. If God has given you a talent or a gift, then you've got to use that in connection with it. It's a costly thing. Passing by on the other side is the least expensive of them. But, is that what we're here for? You are witnesses of the things concerning Jesus Christ. I believe when Christ rose from the dead, he started to tell his disciples some of these things, that, you know, how we want you to go in the whole world. I can imagine somebody like Brother Peter saying, Lord, hallelujah, I'm so glad you're going to preach to those folks in Asia Minor. I'm so glad you're going over to the New World and preaching America. Wait a moment, Peter. Wait a moment. I am not going to be the preacher. I did the part you can't do. I died on the cross in order to make sure that you can get salvation. Now, you are witnesses of these things. Luke 24, verse 46. And God has given to us the tremendous responsibility. And many of us do nothing about it. That's the challenge that I'd like to leave with any here today who are not doing anything about it. When you come to Christ, you didn't come to a bed of roses. When you come to Christ, you didn't come to a mattress that's so soft as soon as you sit in it you can't get back up. When you come to Christ, you come into a world of hardness. Hardness in the good sense that you're helping others and leading others to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Well, this guy departed, gave him 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, whatever you spend more. When I come again, I will repay you. He had each area. He took the hard side. He took the unpleasant side. He took the more expensive side. Or had he walked away, he wouldn't have had to spend a dime. Wouldn't have had to spend any energy or anything. Just walked away like the others did. But then, let me sneak in one. I find that the other side is also the more dignified side. Just imagine that priest and the Levite in their nice garb, their nice robe. And they come down there, and they're on this dust. Now, they didn't have macadam surfaces then. So it was a dusty old Jericho road, and they come across this man. For them to help that man, they'd have had to get down on all fours into the dusty road of Jericho. And can you imagine what it would have done to their God? They'd have gone after that looking anything but the dignified man that they were supposed to be. We've got to sometimes shed ourselves of the dignity. What is that dignity all about? You know, it's to make us in good, what we're after is to be in good standing with our peers. Now, which is more important? To be in good standing with our peers or to be in good standing with the Lord? There's a difference. And this man, he recognized it. So he was ready. I could also talk about the pride. Or it's the less proud way. I can just imagine some people passing by. Now, there weren't many walking down this Jericho road because they had robbers on it. Most people knew about it and they didn't want to touch it. But I can just imagine some fellow coming down there sticking his chest in. You poor fellow. Why, I'm glad I'm not like him. But he passed by on the other side. Too proud to reach down, give a hand to somebody who is lower. There are three philosophies of thought that's mentioned here. Can't talk about them, but I'll just share them with you. Don't comment on them. The three attitudes that we find in this story, and each of us are kind of akin to one of them. For the robbers, their philosophy must have been, man, what's yours is mine. I'll take it. For the priest and the Levite, well, I'm sorry you're in that position, man, but what's mine is mine, and I aim to keep it. And then the third philosophy is that of the Samaritan, who did all the things that were necessary for the man, and his philosophy must have been, what's mine is ours. I'm going to share it. And the Lord pulled that story out and used it as an example for us today. My time is done. I'm not done, but my time is done. So I'm going to stop here. And I trust that something we have said today, the Lord will use in your own heart to draw you a little closer to Himself and to make you a more fitting missionary. Missionary. Are the missionaries of our folks who go to Africa and India and Timbuktu? I want to tell you, Lansdowne can use some missionaries. Pennsylvania can use a lot of missionaries. A missionary is one who is ready to take the gospel message, the mission of Jesus Christ, to people wherever they find themselves. And I'd like to encourage you to be one of them. Call yourself a home missionary if you want to. But be one who is taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, Brother Harold, you have a song picked out, I take it?